Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's healing school. How many are set? Someone says, set for what? Praise God. Breakouts, manifestation of God's power. Right here, right now. Praise God. All right, let's just give this time to him as we continue on this morning. Father, thank you.
You are here.
Thank you for your love. So great, so awesome. Thank you, Lord, for your care, your affection for us as your children. And thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for every individual here gathered. Thank you, Lord, because these ones are eager and hungry for your word and for you. We give this time to you, Lord, that signs, wonders, miraculous workings will be effected in the name of your holy son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for manifestations made sure this morning. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word ringing out in power. And hearts and minds and lives changed to your praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans in chapter 10, verse 17. You know, I usually talk about being expectant, having an expectation. And being ready. And being set. Being alert in the spirit is the way I want to put it this morning. Is the way I want to phrase it this morning. Let's be alert in the spirit. What does that mean? Being able to discern what the Holy Ghost is doing. What he's working in the midst. And that means that our spiritual antenna, if you like, is perked up. Again, I want to ask, who's set here this morning to receive? All right. It says faith comes by what? And hearing what? Okay. So how many know that it's important how you hear? If there are so many things going on in your mind, in your heart, or in the soulless realm, it's likely that you'll miss out on grabbing onto, latching onto that word that he has for you particularly, that the Lord, that God has for you specifically. So it's important to be attentive and to be alert in the spirit. Amen. Let's be set. I always come in with this expectation. You don't leave the same way you came. You don't. Because his word is what? It's true. It's living. It's active. It's effective. It's efficient. And it accomplishes much even in you. Amen? All right. This morning I have the privilege once again of inviting a couple of ministers to just share their hearts with us, what the word of the Lord has for us this morning. And at this time, I want to welcome a beloved sister, Mary, just to come up and just share with us as it concerns healing. And let's be set, it's going to be good. Praise God.
Good morning. Yesterday morning, I was reading in the book of Philippians, and you don't have to turn there, but in the second chapter, the third and fourth verses, it says, in lowliness of mind, Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And when I was reading that, it brought to mind last week when Pastor was asking for help with children's ministry when for Gail and parking the cars for Brad. And I could see how he had tapped them. I don't know if they came up with this by themselves, but I could see the Lord tapping them on the shoulders and saying, hey, Gail, I'm going to need someone in children's ministry. Are you willing to take that up and do that at House on the Rock Church? And praise God, she said yes. And for Brad, hey, Brad, Would you consider parking the cars, helping parking the cars efficiently in the parking lot? And Brad said yes. So thank God he found people that have taken up his interest to see that our church is running efficiently. Well, he has an interest that all of us need to take up, and that is the healing of the world, the healing of humanity. He bought and paid for healing through his death, burial, and resurrection, and he's tapping on our shoulders, and he's saying, hey, will you take my healing power to the world? We know that he wants us healed and whole ourselves. We hear that every week we come here. This is a training center to hear a healing message. And you know, when I was younger, I am sure I would have thought, well, why do I have to go to school? I'm well, I'm fine. You know, why do I have to go? You're learning here what is for the body, what is for humanity. So I'm just encouraging all of us, let's take up his interest of being his healing hands. I was thinking about when we were building this church. My dad's a builder, and Ronnie and I built a couple homes. You know, you can build up the building and everything, but if you don't have power running to that building, it's not going to be really that effective to you, right? And so what do you need to do to lay in the ground to run power lines into the building? You need conduit. The conduit is a plastic pipe that the electrical wires come through. That's what we are. We're conduit. We're just plastic pipes for what? The power of God to flow through. And if we make ourselves available, then great things can happen. Great healings can come. You know, I like, the way I am, I like to see, I love to read in the New Testament about what the prophets were saying that this day would be like. In Joel 2:32, this is in the King James Version, it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." In some translations, it says saved. Now listen to this. This is the part that really jumped out at me. It said, in Mount Zion, that's us, from what I understand, that's the church, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said. It's in you. It is in you to bring deliverance to people around you. It's in you to bring the healing power of God to humanity. Saved or not saved. You know, before I came here, I thought everybody, if they wanted to be healed, they had to be born again, spirit-filled, living their life right, because if they weren't living right, then it wasn't coming. And what I about flipped out when Pastor said he would pray for atheists. I thought, what? You know, it took a while for me to get my doctrine straight. So anyways, just think of that. Deliverance, it's in you. It's in the church. When you come here to healing school, we're learning what is ours, what's in us, what can I bring to humanity. Years ago, I can't even remember how long ago it was, I'm sure over 10 years, my sister-in-law, Ronnie's sister Kay, had had a stroke. And we got a phone call. And of course, I don't know if any of you know, we're north of here an hour and a half. And she was down in one of these hospitals in Detroit. All I know, this to me is Detroit. Oh, that's all I know, you know. I don't know where what you guys are doing down here, but she was down here somewhere. So we get the phone call that, she wasn't floating around in a hospital bed, but she was in a hospital. So we got the phone call that she had had a stroke and that it was pretty severe. And Ronnie and I prayed for her, but the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, I want you to go down there and I want you to lay hands on her. And he said, I am going to heal her from the inside out. Now that's the word that the Lord gave me. So I told Ronnie, I said, we need to go down there. And I told him what the Lord had said. So when we got into the hospital, it was just her. She was in bed and then her husband, John. So it's Kay and John. Well, John is proceeding to tell us how bad the stroke was. I mean, she was paralyzed on her whole side. I remember her picking her hand up. She has beautiful hands. She could be a hand model. Beautiful hands, beautiful fingernails, her ring beautiful. And I remember that beautiful hand paralyzed and she picked it up and it just fell down. So they're talking and John's talking and telling us what the doctor said. It was very severe. She was not going to be able to have any use of that side. You know, it was really, really grim. And he's proceeding to talk, and they're going to put her in physical therapy. Maybe she might restore, you know, some feeling might be restored. And I remember her pinching the tips of those beautiful fingers and saying, if it does come, John was saying, if the feeling does come, it's going to be from the outside in. Holy Spirit said to me, and have you ever had him talk loud and stern, it about set you back on the wall? He said, I said, inside out. He said, lay hands on her. So I laid hands on her. We commanded, because Romans 8:11 says what? If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will what? Quicken, make alive your mortal body by that same spirit. So we laid hands on her. I commanded that quickening power of God to be released, because she's a believer. It's in there, right? Activated in Jesus' name. So we went home, and it was about, it's been so long ago, but it was about a week or two, we get a call. She was perfectly whole. Perfectly whole. And guess how it happened? Yeah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And how did it happen? Inside out. Totally in the face of what natural man said. And the reason that I told you that is I had made myself a vessel, a conduit for the Lord to speak to bring his healing power. I didn't know what I know now. You guys don't, you know, we don't have to know everything there is, because we will never know it. You know, we're going to be in heaven and I'm sure we're going to school up there. But it's like, but we have ears to hear. Lord, what are you saying? And over in Psalm 110, you can turn here. Psalm 110 verses 1 through 3. This, I'm going to read it in the New American Standard Version. It says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter out of Zion. What is he doing? He's stretching forth authority out of the church, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. You rule over sickness and disease. You rule over death in Jesus' name. The Lord, okay, your people. I'm his people. Who's his? Are you guys his people? Raise your hand. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. We are in the day of his power. Volunteer to be conduit. Volunteer to be a vessel that he'll flow through. And I have one more awesome scripture. I love it, because he's sitting up at the right hand of the Father, right? And it says in Psalm 110, that he is going to stretch forth that strong rod of authority. Who's doing that? Jesus is. And he's telling us to rule, right? In Job 32, 36, it says, this is the New Living. And just get a picture of this, you guys. Remember your conduit. And we talked about those electrical wires running through. What is electricity? It's like lightning, right? Lightning bolts, electricity. Think of Benjamin Franklin. He fills his hands with lightning bolts. And he hurls each at its target. And he does not miss. So my encouragement to you, the title, I'm sorry, is The Lord Needs Volunteers. So let's volunteer. But in closing, so what do we do in order to make ourselves available to him? First and foremost, we must be born again. That means we have to be alive to him, right? The second thing, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He is our power source. Number three, we spend much time in the Word. And I don't mean just running through it, reading it fast, but meditate on it. Maybe a couple scriptures stand out to you. Take those, meditate on it. Say, Lord, talk to me. What are you saying? I'm listening. And then pray much in the Holy Spirit, because that's building yourself up. And you know what you're doing? You're praying mysteries. You're hearing. It's easier to hear when you're praying in the Holy Spirit. And then the last one, say, Lord, I'm hearing. I'm listening. And when a situation comes up, you say, Lord, I'm hearing. I'm listening. And I dare you, he will tell you what to say. And when you speak what he says, that healing power will flow. And I believe it. In Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm so pumped up. I'm expecting that everyone here is. I'm just like, oh, wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love that. Thank you, Mary. Appreciate that. Word of exhortation. She mentioned Psalm 110, verse 3. It says, And your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the days of your power. What day is that? Oh, hallelujah. Here and now in our times, day of his power. You, everyone seated here, were participants, custodians of his power. What are we doing with that? Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. It says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe? It says, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or worked in Christ Jesus in raising him up from the dead and has seated him at the right hand of power. The long and short of that, the self same power that was at work in raising Christ Jesus up from the dead is the self same power that is at work in the believer, in his child, in his son, in his daughter, in his children. Yes. Why healing school? The three reasons for healing school. Anyone? Three reasons why we're here this morning at healing class. Number one. Learn how to receive your healing. One, two.
Minister healing.
Three.
Walking in divine health.
So you learn about it, you walk in it, and then you show it out. You express it. You give expression to the nature of God within you, to the power of God within. And that's an aspect which more and more we will continue to emphasize you actually doing. And I'm saying as a mode of encouragement this morning, friends, when we take attention off of ourselves most times and our situations, our circumstances, and look outward in the area of ministry, in the area of showing and manifesting God's love, in reaching out and touching someone in need, healing need or whatever need. When we are doing His business, paying attention to what He has asked us to do, guess what happens? Who knows? Teresa? Big things happen, great things happen. Your business is taken care of in the area of manifestation, in the area of actuality. By manifestation, I mean what you actually get to see and experience tangibly in your body, in your particular situation or circumstance. Let's be so God-focused when He speaks to us as His kids, John 10:27. We hear His voice, we know His voice, and we do His bidding. And in doing that, our stuff gets taken care of. It's taken care of. Why? Because it's done already, friends. We expend so much energy. I'm saying, as His volunteers, let's reach out and touch. Reach out and minister life. That self-same power is at work within you. What are you doing with it? Someone says, well, I don't see much happens. Well, most times that's because we've not even tried or attempted or done anything about it or with it. Let's get into the mode of doing. Someone say, doing.
Doing.
Knowing that is He that works in you both to will and to do of what? Of His good pleasure. He's the ability within, His life, His power, His nature. Refer to it as His DNA is in you. The divine nature of Abba. The divine nature of God Himself on your inside. Express that. Amen. Just give a short, quick testimony. Remember I said being expectant, being set, being ready. How are you hearing so far? This morning, how are you hearing? It's important how you hear. I'll be speaking more on that as we continue on. How are you hearing what you hear? There has to be intent. There has to be. It's not just, oh, willy-nilly. We have to be intentional in this. A couple of weeks ago, I think the last time I was here in a teaching capacity, after the message, I called out a few cases as by the Spirit of God, and a number of folks came up here, and one of them had to do with an arm and whatnot on the right side. And then a sister came up for prayer ministry. This is after the teaching, after healing school. And then the prayer ministers are ministering, and by the time she steps up, she says, oh, actually, praise God, lifted the hand in the air and said, the situation I came for was already healed. Amen. By the power of God. She had not been able to lift it, had not been able to play, had not been able to do things with it. But as she just stood there at the hearing of the word, she lined up before she made that move to join up with the prayer ministers. Oh, gone. And I'm saying to you, friends, as you attend to God's business, I've seen this happen so many times, I can't share too many testimonies at this point. You're looking at your situation, oh, where is that stuff? That stuff that they said was incurable. That stuff that they said your numbers will never go down. Whether it has to do with blood, whether it has to be high blood pressure, whether it has to be whatever it is, or sugar levels, or whatever it is. You see that situation is taken care of. That situation is done by His power, by His might. So easy. Let's focus on Him. At this juncture, I'd like to call on Azubike. He's got a brief word of exhortation, a word as it relates to healing. Let's just encourage him as he comes forward to share.
Well, praise God. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Pastor Sheon. They both really have summarized my message. We really are conduits of the power of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So interesting, when I walked in today, I was part of a conversation. Someone was asking, when the disciples were caught up in a storm and the winds were blowing and they were trying to stop, remedy the situation, why did Jesus say to them, why is your faith so little? And they asked him, don't you care that we perish? What was going on? Her question was, did the disciples have the power of God at the time? Could they have spoken to the wind? Am I correct? Yeah, so now my hope is that at the end of my message, you'll be able to understand the answer to that question. Praise God. So as humans, we face a lot of situations that are very difficult. Some are beyond our human ability. Now, I don't care if it's a headache. I don't care if it's a cancer. But as humans, we don't have any supernatural power to cure these things. So to cure a sickness or disease, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So the question is, does God want to participate in the healing process? Now, if God is really interested in healing us, is there a way we can actually participate with the Holy Spirit to see situations that are impossible, that are very difficult, changed? Is it possible? And that's what I want to investigate today. So the title of my message today is Faith to Move Mountains. Faith to deal with any situation, no matter how difficult, no matter how impossible it seems. And in fact, preaching this message seems impossible because people are like, oh, really? How is that possible? So let's, Matthew 17:20. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be moved from here to there. And he said, it will be done for you. And then he said, in fact, nothing will be impossible to you. Amen. How's that possible? Right. What is he talking about? Any thoughts? Oh, go ahead. Amen. All of them. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. So now I've heard some messages about seed faith, where somehow you can have this supernatural faith. You can stir yourself so strong that you can speak to a mountain. Right? That's self-motivation. That's not possible. You know, because of this, I have two things I'm absolutely sure of, without doubt, without question. Number one, if I speak to that pulpit and ask it to move, I'm 100% sure, without doubt, that it's not going to move. Now, if I can't move that pulpit, how can I move a mountain? Now, before you give up hope, the other thing I'm absolutely sure of, without doubt, without question, if Jesus stood in front of a mountain, and if Jesus said to that mountain, move, I am 100% sure that that mountain will move. Now, my question to you is this. Who do I trust? Myself or Christ? That, my brothers and sisters, is really what faith is all about. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So you see, there is no question. There is no doubt. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That is what faith is about. Faith is not about you motivating yourself. Faith is not about you stirring yourself up to do this supernatural thing, because you cannot. Jesus himself said, of myself, I can do. But it says, my Father does the works. We are conduits of the power of God. Amen. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. Let's see how the apostles of old implemented this. Acts chapter 3 from verse 1. I'm using the New King James. Are we there? All right. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gates of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple, walking, leaping, praising God. How could Peter do such a thing with such boldness? Now I love what Peter said. Notice Peter didn't say, who I am, because of I am this great Peter apostle, and when I speak this word to you, you're just going to fly up and start walking. But Peter says, what I have, and what I have is the power of God. This is the, if you want to call it, the secret to faith. This is the power. He said, it is the power of God in me. This is the evidence. This is the assurance I have because of someone on the inside of me, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now, if we go down, Peter goes on to explain because of people are coming around and they're saying, what's going on here? So verse 11. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch. Verse 11, and we're going to verse 12, which is called Solomon's greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his son, glorified his servant, Jesus. Praise God. He's saying, why are you guys looking at us as though we are some kind of supermen? Like we have some kind of supernatural power. He's like, why are you surprised? He said, this is Jesus. This is what he does. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now with this in mind, let's turn to Mark 11 from verse 22. This is what faith is about. Trusting God to cooperate with us, participate with us, to handle the difficulties or the mountains or the issues that come our way. Now, Mark 11, 22, here Jesus is talking about moving mountains. And it used to be a point of contention for me because I spent so many times, you know, with sickness, speaking the word to it, binding the devil, and then the sickness doesn't go. And then people are frustrated and they're upset and they're offended. And it's simply because we misunderstand what Jesus really is saying. So, Mark 11 from verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. This is how you have faith without doubt. How? Have faith in God.
Yes.
That is what he's saying. This is how you have faith without doubt. Have faith in God. He's not saying stir yourself up. He's not saying try to be supernatural. Trust God. This is how we have faith without doubt. And now because of what I've said and because of what he said, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, the key phrase here is this, believe that you receive.
Yes.
Now, what do you think it means? What does that mean? Believe you receive them. Something to think about, right? Now, what he is not saying, again, he's not saying convince yourself. Believe you receive. He's saying come to God as a recipient of God's power and God's grace. He's saying, don't come to God as though you are the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't come to God as though you are the one who moves your mountains. Come to God knowing that he moves your mountains. Believe you receive and you will have it.
Yes.
Praise God. This is grace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Any questions, any thoughts before I continue? Right, because this is worth thinking about. Because I know, because I've spent many years in frustration trying to make this happen. Because I thought God was saying, I should move my mountains. And Jesus is saying, no, I never said that. What I said was, trust me to move your mountains. Amen?
Yes.
So if we look at, there's this encounter or this story with Joshua. I believe it's Joshua chapter 10, verse 11. When he was fighting the battle. And he was short on time, the sun was going down, and he was asking God for more time. Now, previously, when I thought about this story, you know, the Bible says he speaks to the Son. That is what I thought. But the scripture doesn't say he spoke to the Son. The scripture said, Joshua said to the Lord, Son, stand still. And the scripture replied by saying, the Lord heard him. And there was never a day like that that God heard a man. So Joshua wasn't speaking to the Son. He was speaking to the Lord. He said, Lord, make this happen. We need more time. And the Lord heard his prayer. So this is the secret that, I'm using that word secret, but this is the truth. It was the same in the Old Testament. It's the same even today. If you look at the man David, as far as I know, never lost a battle. And when you read the accounts in the Bible, every time he goes to battle, he would always start by going to the Lord. First thing, say, Lord, should I fight? And the Lord would say, yes. And then he asks again, am I going to win? And the Lord would say, yes, you will. And then the Lord gives him a strategy how to go about the battle, and he never lost a battle. This is what faith is all about. Now, let me give you a quick testimony. I used to have a back pain for 5 years, a long time. And I did everything I knew to do. When I thought God was asking me to move my mountains, I spoke to the back and I spoke in tongues and I bound the devil and everything I knew to do. And when I got tired of playing God, I humbled myself and I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, how do we do this? Lord, how do you want to heal my back? And I felt in my heart that it was okay to go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor and, they did blood tests and nothing was wrong with me. And then she gives me all these ideas like, okay, try this and try that. She said, maybe it's the way you sit down. And then she gave me some pills like, we'll take it. So I'm like, okay. I knew in my heart I didn't need those pills. But something she said just stuck in my mind. I knew the Holy Spirit kept bringing that to my memory. And she said, the way you sit down. Now, I've been in school for a very long time at the time. And every time I sit, I would always kind of slouch. And I did that for several years. So the Lord just told me, change the way you sit down. And I'm like, really? 5 years? You know, so when I'm at home and I sit down on the chair, I would slouch and the thing would come in my heart, sit straight. And then I would force myself to sit straight. In 2 weeks, all the pain disappeared. 2 weeks. I'm like, really, Lord? 5 years, huh? In 2 weeks, all gone. And he never came back till today. Amen. So this is the point. This is what faith is. God never asked you to pay the price. He asked you to trust him. Now, this is what in Malachi, when the scripture talks about tithing. Now, bear in mind, the Old Testament, this is all pictures and shadows. So when the Lord says, pay 1 out of 10, right? Give me a tithe. And you keep the 90%. It really is a picture. He says, if you pay the 1/10, I will open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing that you cannot contain, that will blow your mind. What is he really saying? Praise God. He's saying, do the one thing. Trust me. And I will do the 9 out of 10. Do the 10%. Trust me. And I'll do the 90%. Now, the problem with the disciples was they toiled and they labored and they tried to get the storm, you know, to fix the situation, and they went to Jesus last. What we do is we do the 90%. We try and try and try and try and try, and we're like, oh Lord, help me out. And Jesus said, you should come to me first. Pay the tithe in picture. Yeah, that's the picture. That's the idea. Do the one thing first. Trust me. And the Lord said, I will do the 90%. I will move your mountains. Zechariah 4:6. It is not by might. It is not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, this mountain will be removed. Praise God. It's not by confession. Nothing wrong with confession. It's not by speaking in tongues. It is by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. This is awesome. Praise God. So when the Lord started teaching me all this stuff, and I'm saying to myself, Lord, this is almost too good to be true. Is there something you have done? Is there something that I can always look to remind me that this is true? Because this is too good. And the Lord said, look no further than the cross. Amen. If he wanted you and I to pay the price, we would be on the cross till today. Because this will never be enough. He said, I paid the price. It is by his stripes that we are healed. It is by his sacrifice. In fact, Isaiah wrote, by his stripes we are healed. And this is in the Old Testament, before Jesus died. He's saying, this is the God I have always been. In fact, the book of Revelation says, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. He's saying, I am a God who always sacrifices myself for you. I will always do it, and I will continue to do it. And this is who he is till today. So whenever I feel like sacrificing myself and paying that price and doing it 90%, the Holy Spirit says, remember the cross. And I say, thank you, Lord. I'm a recipient. I'm a steward of your love. I'm a conduit of your power. And it's okay. Praise God forevermore. Amen. Can we have the prayer ministers come out? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So do you have mountains in your life? Are there situations that you feel are too difficult to solve? Maybe it's been very difficult because you've been trying by yourself. And the Lord never said you should. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Are you in need of healing? Is it a financial situation, an emotional situation? We have prayer ministers here who will help you and join your faith with you. If you don't know how to trust and you have questions, they're here to help you answer them. They'll lead you to trust, lead you to the Holy Spirit, and help you understand what this is all about. Or you're not even a believer. You don't know the Lord. This is an opportunity to be changed, to be transformed, and it's free of charge. Praise God. And we have a cross right there to remind us of who our Father is. Jesus came and revealed the identity of God. And he says his identity is Father. He sacrifices himself for us. He heals our sicknesses. He encourages us. So this time is for you. Praise God. So please feel free to come out here and talk with our ministers. And praise God. We'll be back at 10:45 for service. And God bless you. Thank you very much. Praise God.